This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are the tag team Peg and Claudia Hosky of Hosky Communications and Fed Insider. Guys, welcome back.
Nice to see you again, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Nice to see you.
Peg's laughing because I hosted a forum that she hosted on improper payments, which was absolutely cool down at the Willard. And then we shared the dais on a panel for Novatech, Northern Virginia Tech Council, on networking. And that prompted today's discussion. I want to get into a deep dive on networking here. Things to do, things not to do. How can you be a successful networker? And what are the elements of success in our community? But I want to start by referencing something. I think I referenced this a couple weeks ago on a show I did with Guy Timberlake. But in the 90s... there wasn't much of anything on the web. Early 90s, email wasn't even around. And I know Claudia can't quite grasp that, but it just didn't happen. So on a blog post I did February 1, I wrote a thing called There's Networking, Then There's Connecting, Then There's Being Connected. But basically what happened, Tom Hewitt was president of Federal Sources. He started his company, Federal Sources, in 84. In the late 80s, he started the annual Christmas party, which has now evolved into the Input, now Deltek, Christmas party. But it's one of those things where this event became really the must-attend event of the year for a decade. It was open. Anybody could come. He took over the ballroom in the McLean Hilton, and you walk into this room, and everybody is there. Everybody you read about in the publications, every, you know, across the board, the people you see speaking. And it was pretty cool. But to network in a venue like that, when, you know, my first attendance was probably around 92 or so, I knew very few people there. But I knew Hewitt. So you're, you know, if you know, and In terms that resonate with especially Peg and I, in 1992, 1993, 1994, prior to the web, Hewitt was LinkedIn. If you didn't know Hewitt, you couldn't access everybody you needed to. But if you did know Hewitt, you could access everybody. So given that layout, let's talk a little bit about what it takes to succeed in this community. And Peg, you and I have been around here for a while.
It so happens that we have, Mark. I think probably both of us have some background or extensive background in the media side. I was part of the launch team for Federal Computer Week, and then also moved on to be part of the team for InfoWorld, all that time working for International Data Group. Mm-hmm. And I know you too spent time in media.
I helped do some of the research as a list guy when FCW was going to launch. I wrote the rewrote the audit with John Long for Federal Computer Week. I wrote the audit for Government Computer News. Yeah. And I co-wrote the audit again with John Long for Washington Technology.
I think when you're in the media business, and now we're back in the media business with Claudia as publisher of Fed Insider, you're in that business, you are in the center of watching what happens in the marketplace. And in that situation, you wind up, I think, in the government sector, watching some of the same people doing new and different things as the years go on. You talk about how you build a reputation and really what is the essence of you as a person. I think in the government market, it's hard to hide from your background because so many of us have been in this market a long time and have, as you just said, connected along the way with various bellwether people that connected us with others in that ping pong fashion.
Right. And Hewitt would not bother to connect you if he really didn't think you belonged in a certain strata.
Exactly. It's interesting. Last night, you and I talked about networking as an art, and also Jim Garrison was at the Diaz, and he made reference to something which a client of ours, Gallup, has also talked about, StrengthFinder, and going on to StrengthFinder and taking the test and analyzing what are the attributes that are the essence of you as a person. Our client at Gallup down at the Washington, D.C. office, when you walk into every single office of everyone who works there, you'll see a plaque that indicates the four attributes that are your greatest strengths. And it helps you to figure out when you walk into that office, how do I relate to this individual? How do I optimize my ability to communicate with them? And yes, there are strengths that we have. There's also other ways that we relate to each other. And, you know, I think you mentioned LinkedIn as a way to analyze and understand better what are the things that we have in common whenever we meet each other.
Yeah. And you know, the reputation facet here is something that builds over time. This is a very closed community. It's a big community, but it's a closed community. So if you inadvertently or advertently piss somebody off, do something wrong, you know, the word's going to get around. And it's going to get around in a fairly significant but under the radar way. It's rumor and innuendo, but it sticks. So if you post something on your profile at LinkedIn that's untoward, in all likelihood, 50 or 60 people are laughing their butts off about this, saying, you know, "Oh, you have the hindsight prescience to claim responsibility for something done by 10 other people before you got there."
It's rough. I know probably it's not much longer than a year and a half ago that I was not spending the kind of thought time that I do now on Twitter. And I think Claudia's coming to the company and bringing that dimension to Fed Insider and to our firm has given us an opportunity to broaden our reputation for knowledge to a larger, very much larger scale through Twitter. I think myself, there's about 615 people that follow me, some of whom are interested in government, some are interested in media, some are just plain curious as to what am I writing about when I talk about the DC lifestyle. And that's something that reputation, I think, has well moved beyond just the local area through social media aspects like Twitter.
Yeah, and we're going to get into this in a little more depth, but Claudia, how do you leverage, especially Twitter? You know, I'm on Twitter, but I don't use it very well. I'm sure I don't use it very well. I use it purely as a push. But how do you develop relationships with people using Twitter?
Well, it's an interesting creature. When I started Twitter about a year and a half ago, you know, Peg says I brought it to the company, but I just sort of brought the knowledge that, hey, there's a lot of social media going on out there. I don't really know how most of it works, but we should probably figure it out and use it. So we both kind of figured it out at the same time. And I think really the key to, especially Twitter, getting involved with the people was listen. You have to, I mean, it's the best data gathering I have found in social media and in terms of getting to know your customers, your audience, people you'd like to do business with, people you should probably stay away from. Just listening on Twitter is such a great way to stay on top of things and interconnected with people.
Yeah. You made, and you probably don't know this, but you probably made one of the most astute comments when a question was asked of Peg, and it was you, me, Peg, and a lady from Wells Fargo. And she wanted to know the best recruiting mechanism for people just out of college. Should I be using LinkedIn? Should I be using Facebook? You said, and boom, Craigslist. You know,
yeah.
I had no clue, but it made all the sense in the world when you said it. And that was probably the tidbit that she came for.
I hope so. It was funny. You know, I go to a lot of these events and I hear a lot of comments. Oh, you're Peg Hosky's daughter. Because, you know, she's been around this group a few weeks, yes. And I'm kind of in a big shadow. But it's and I sometimes feel like I'm having trouble keeping up, because I think with social media, I kind of have the advantage now of running with these big crowds, but I don't have the 25 years of experience that a Mark or a Peg Hosky would. And so I get intimidated. Are you going to ask me a question? Will I know how to answer it? So it's great when you're at an event and someone says, hey, how do I recruit people your age to, you know, come work for me? Do I go on, you know, do you use monster.com? I'm sure a lot of people do. I mean, it's doing pretty well, but
you're one of 10 million.
You know, I've never used it. I go to Craigslist. That's what I do. It was interesting and kind of fun to be able to feel like I was contributing to the conversation.
Well, there you go. You're bringing value to the event.
There
you're
you
listening
go.
To AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into building relationships, building your knowledge base, and adding value to the market.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
The Office of Management and Budget says a new 2.0 version of the government's IT dashboard will give a lot more insight into individual agencies' IT spending. Federal CIO Stephen Van Roekel says the revamped dashboard will give the public access to individual projects and activities associated with an IT investment, along with connections to funding sources. OMB hopes the more granular data will help identify duplication in agency IT projects and help pinpoint performance problems.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to gdit.com to learn more. That's gdit.com.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Hey, Caps fans! On the move but need your Caps info? Then download the official Caps mobile app to your Android, iPhone, or BlackBerry. With the Caps mobile app, you can follow the game with real-time scores and stats and access news, photos, podcasts, videos, and Twitter feeds anytime, anywhere. To download, text Caps app to 43803 or log on to WashingtonCaps.com. Stay Caps connected with Caps Mobile.
Hey man, what's up? Angie went to Walmart and got this cool Pioneer HD radio receiver, and now she's like, I don't know.
Simple stuff. Check out the buyer's guide at hdradio.com.
Cool buyer's guide. Oh, here's the Pioneer DEH-44, under $120 at Walmart. Angie, hip and smart.
See, dude, hdradio.com has the answers you need, and Walmart has the Pioneer with built-in HD radio technology you want. Now all you need to do is learn how to talk to girls.
Learn about HD radio technology at hdradio.com. More radio, more value.
Walk MS. Every step matters, every dollar counts, and every person makes a difference. Hi, this is Sinead Simpson from ABC7. Please join me in the movement to end MS forever at Walk MS this April. Support the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and walk to create a world free of MS. Register for one of six sites around the D.C. area at msnu.org. That's msandyou.org.
Presented by Booz Allen Hamilton.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
As cybersecurity threats intensify, federal agencies are reviewing their technology management framework, looking towards increased reliance on continuous monitoring and collaboration. Join AFSEA Bethesda on March 23rd at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of chief information security officers from DOT, DOJ, and DOE share their thoughts on how collaborative initiatives will redefine the security spectrum in the coming year. Register today at afseabethesda.org/marbreakfast.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests today are Peg and Claudia Hosky of, is Hosky Communications, which is the parent company of Fed Insider, of which Claudia is the editor. I think that's the right sentence. I don't know. I only taught English. I don't practice
Publisher. Publisher.
There you go. Oh, that's right. You don't write a lot.
I don't.
You
write.
Just publish.
I do the social media writing.
But... Well, there you go. Okay, cool. Well, we should collaborate on some of that because, as you may know, I do write about social media. maybe too frequently, but maybe not. I want to talk about the change in mediascape here, and I'll start by, you know, a minor self congratulations. You guys are the first show of my sixth year on Federal News Radio.
Congrats.
Well, thank you, but thank you for being here, too. You know, I can't have a show unless I have guests, and preferably good guests. So far, so good. 6 years and counting. But Federal News Radio itself is over 10 years old now, and it was a pioneer in web-based activity because it was started off as a web-based radio show, and it was here long before Blog Talk Radio or any of the others, I believe. This is accurate, that it was the first web-based radio program, web-based broadcast. And it was focused at the federal employee community, has broadened since to attract contractors as well as feds. And there's just a whole slew of stuff here, but still largely web-based. I think I get more listeners in the archives, but the information provided through the WFED, federalnewsradio.com website is extraordinary. But Peg, you were with 1105 when it launched. Government Computer News was already here. Government Exec is literally the granddaddy of the government pubs. It started, I believe, in the late 60s or very early 70s. GCN came around the end of the 70s. Federal Computer Week 1987, I believe, was the launch. WashTech was either right before that or right after that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the pubs are still here, mercifully. I love reading the pubs, but most of the time I'm reading them online. What's evolved here?
Well, actually, I never worked for 1105. IDG owned Federal Computer right. Week at the launch, and a lot's changed since then. I would say most notably, you look at the landscape of print media, and it's probably not the friendliest place to be right now. I just yesterday read the new Pew study on newspapers, and it's pretty dismal. This year, this quarter, for the first time, there's been an actual uptick in advertising in newspapers with about a 0.35% increase in revenue.
0.35. Not even a whole point.
First time in 6 years. However, revenue on newspapers is literally less than half of what it was in 2006. So you're talking about what Pew calls the paralysis of the newspaper industry. Probably not a viable market right now. Where is this going? Not sure. So for Federal Computer Week, Government Computer News, Government Executive, there's all kinds of reinvention going on. I think events have become more important to these print media properties. because they're looking for ways to monetize what's become a difficult and expensive proposition. Editorial is not inexpensive and needs to be maintained by advertising. And I think for the first time, at least that since I've been in the government market, we have a situation where during a recessionary period, typically companies turn to the government sector to shore up their revenues. Unfortunately, the government right now is pulling back on spending. So there's a lot of upheaval in the entire media marketplace right now.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of the different shows on Federal News Radio. My friend John Gilroy, who is Tech Talk.
Yes.
John's been doing radio in Washington for a really long time, and he's been on Federal News Radio probably longer than me. But at the end of every show, he does his, you know, nerd thing. What's your nerd quotient? He asks people, you know, what kind of devices you have, how many apps you have on, you know, I wouldn't pass. but, you know, invariably, he's asking people what and how they read. And traditional publications, hard copy publications, you know, if they are not digital, they aren't being read nearly as much as they should. And many of the sources of information have no hard copy at all. So
you and I last were on this with Claudia a year ago.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was a flirtation from a major media property to enter the space and compete against Fosse. You had InfoWorld. You had a lot of other properties coming into the government space. I think that has cooled a bit on the media side. And so
I'd forgotten about the incursion with a new show that never came to fruition.
That never came to fruition. Exactly.
But people keep trying. You know, number one, live events are still there. The reason we use social media is to identify the people we need to meet when we go to live events. Regardless of where I speak in the country, people may not know that I have 3 books out. They don't know that I write for WashTech. They may not know that I have a radio show, but they know me from LinkedIn. 20% of every audience that I speak to knows me from LinkedIn.
That's amazing.
It boggles the mind. Yesterday, during the improper payments forum, there's, you know, 100 or so people who actually do this for a living in the room. I asked the question, how many people here are on LinkedIn? And this is a pure government audience. Over half the people raised their hands. You know, the numbers are staggering.
And yet last night, Northern Virginia Technology Council, you asked the same question.
100%.
All industry audience, 100% of them.
Absolutely.
Everybody's there. You know, and when Facebook came up or any of the other, let's call them peripheral networks, you know, the activity is on LinkedIn. So how do we leverage LinkedIn? How do we leverage the Web 2.0? I mean, the events are there and the events should be there because you're drawing together little communities of people like at the Improper Payments Forum, like you will at FedSMC. Is that next month?
April 15th through 18th.
Tax day. Oh, what a great day. Is that the day I'm speaking?
Well, you talk about optimizing LinkedIn by getting very familiar with the groups. There are groups that cover a tremendous number of interest areas. I kind of like the Pinterest is focused on photographs. Well, LinkedIn has instead groups. And those groups with their interest areas allow you to readily pick off a group that's in your area and spend time getting to know the members of the group, posting information about articles of interest to the group, and building a reputation within the group. Just as we talked about the improper payments briefing yesterday, there is a federal improper payments group on LinkedIn.
114 members.
And all of them have as their professional responsibility.
Yeah, it's not a numbers game, it's a quality game.
Exactly.
You know, and the ability of LinkedIn to help people develop communities right there is extraordinary. There's 1.3 million groups on LinkedIn at this time. And every time I look at the numbers, you know, I wait 15 minutes, I look again, there's five more groups.
It's
that active. But what people are doing, they may take, you know, if you type in government, there's like 7,500 groups. If you type in government contracting, there's only 300 groups, okay? If you type in government improper payments, there's two groups. So you're looking for that niche community, and you can build it. If you, if, and this is, and I did a blog post, if you build it, they will come. It's not a fast process, but they'll find you, and they'll find, if it's a business related issue, they'll find you on LinkedIn. It's cool.
I do want to make sure you give us a commercial though, Mark, because I think you're one of the few people that I've heard of that actually will do solid training on how to maximize the effectiveness of LinkedIn in building a business.
I do it for individuals. I do it for companies. I do it for associations. There's, you know, I did a session for salespeople, and you know how salespeople do not like to use social media. They want to get out and press the flesh, blah, blah. But the way to grow your network prior to and establish your credentials is by leveraging social media. We're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests today are Peg and Claudia Hosky of Hosky Communications and Fed Insider. Look at fedinsider.com. Sign up for the newsletter. It's really, really great. And Claudia may not write it, but our friend Tom Temin, host of the AM show here at Federal News Radio, does write for Fed Insider. Solid stuff. Back in a minute.
Looking to rent or buy in Northern Virginia? Attend the 2012 Northern Virginia Housing Expo, Saturday, March 24th at Arlington's Washington Lee High School. This event is free and open to the public and features 60 exhibitors, including the local housing authorities, property managers, lenders, realtors, mortgage companies, and more. You'll also find workshops on Are You Ready to Rent? And Are You Ready to Buy? Credit scores and home financing. More information available at Nova Housing. Expo.org.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Heartburn, it's no big deal, right? Well, heartburn is a sign of acid reflux, and frequent bouts could result in a condition called Barrett's esophagus. In turn, Barrett's can lead to abnormal changes in the lining of the esophagus called dysplasia.
There's certainly a progression towards cancer with high-grade dysplasia in Barrett's.
To prevent that, Mayo Clinic Dr. Don Jaruzelski says removal of all or most of the esophagus may be necessary. The procedure has been around for a long time. What's new is a less invasive approach. Through very small incisions, surgeons can do the procedure with the aid of a miniature TV camera.
We do the exact same surgery on the inside. Results are just as good, but patients get better faster.
It's still major surgery, but for the right patient, it can make an already stressful situation easier. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family, or at the beach, or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now, there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android market or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Coming soon to the Apple App Store, Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Want to know how much force goes into a crushing basketball slam dunk? If so, you're in luck. A scientific measurement tool was just developed for the NBA's slam dunk contest. It looks, feels, and acts like a regular basketball net, but there's electrically conductive rubber tubing inside that stretches, causing changes in current as a ball goes through.
We have an equation that takes the amount of stretch and calculates the amount of energy in the ball.
Michael Bove of MIT's Media Lab says extensive engineering tests have made it very sensitive.
It accounts for whether the ball is going through vertically or whether the ball is hitting the side of the net and rolling around in the net for a while before coming out.
Bove thinks the technology can be adapted for other sports like baseball pitching nets and perhaps some everyday uses. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests today are Peg and Claudia Hoskey of Hoskey Communications and Fed Insider. You can find them at fedinsider.com. Let's get into the knowledge side of this, because if you want a reputation, if you want to build relationships here, you got to be adding value. And that was my first point last night at the networking thing. Anywhere you go, bring something of value. You know, Max Peterson taught his salespeople the same thing. When you're going for, you know, to meet somebody new, have something that they need, have something they want, bring something of value to the table.
So last night we talked about adding value. We had a younger salesperson say, how do I build a relationship with someone beyond talking about my business? And I could talk about my product, I can talk about my company, but how do I talk about myself? And I think Mark talked about the entire package walking into the room with you. Your entire career walks in. This is where preparation comes in, where Mark mentions LinkedIn. If you are meeting with a customer for lunch and you go to the LinkedIn resume, so to speak, of that individual, you can take a look at what books they have put down that they're reading currently. You can take a look at where they went to college. That might give you a clue of their favorite basketball teams. You might find that they went to West Point and that you lived in the Mid-Hudson Valley. And so you've got something very quickly to bring to the discussion. And it's all part of your background, things you've done in the past, connections that you might have had with this individual that if you've done a little homework, you're going to learn about. What was it that Jim Garrison said about Google last night?
What does Google think about you?
And so the question is, What does Google think about the person you're having lunch with? What can you learn about them before you get to the room so that you've got some ideas of things that you have in common or talking points from your background that you're able to bring to the discussion that's going to establish a pretty quick connection between you and that person?
Right. Well, you mentioned that you got a recommendation the other day from my mentor, whom you had not been in touch with for several years.
Lynn Bateman. I got via LinkedIn a note that Lynn Bateman had gone on my profile and drafted a recommendation for me, citing some of my insight in early work with Washington Technology and Federal Computer Week. And here we are so many years later, still thinking about each other. and still carrying the reputation for quality and, I guess, in a lot of ways, affection and respect for each other, what we've learned and brought to the marketplace those many years.
Yeah, Lynn's the only person to make all three of my books, I think, for the simple reason that she taught me not only the value of knowledge in this market, but where to find most of the stuff I needed. And to that, I owe her a huge debt of gratitude.
You know, I think we talked last night with Northern Virginia Technology Council, and there were all contractors in the room. And I think the big question was, how do you relate to government people? And I have to say that we're all people. In this market, we all probably do read mostly the same media. Over the years, we've probably in our travels learned about the same military academies. If we're meeting with military people, we certainly know about the rivalry between Army and Navy. Mm-hmm. So there's ways to connect with government people, even if you've never worked for the government. I have to say that a couple of years ago, a woman that worked for a publication that focused on the Navy had a lunch meeting with me, wanting to talk to me about advertising in that publication. She arrived for the lunch and handed me a not expensive present, but a calendar from the Coast Guard. Having looked up that my husband, Tom, was an officer in the Coast Guard, said, "I brought something along that Tom might like having." And there's no question that he appreciated and enjoyed getting that gift. It didn't cost her much.
Little research.
It certainly had a big impact. So when you think about how we are positioned in this government market, there's a degree of patriotism. There's certainly an understanding of the mission of the government as a laudy one, as one that we as a country feel very proud of. And we can certainly use that in our conversations with other government employees.
Let's talk a little bit more about the event side of the universe. Kerry Simon has govevents.com now, and it's a year and a half or so old, but it's really cool because it lists all of the events all over the country, maybe outside OCONUS as well. I'm not sure. I don't look at those, but there's events every day. You could literally spend your professional life from 7 in the morning until 9 at night going to professional events, not just in Washington, but around. How do you select the events that are most germane to what you do?
I think that's really the essence. Yesterday, we had a client saying to us, yes, of course, we are sponsoring FedSMC, but what are some other events we should look at? And it really, really requires you to sit down and think, you know, the same old question you ask when you buy media. Who's my target audience? Who's going to affect my business this year? And what are the, you know, how much am I going to commit of my time? Because you're going to take salespeople away from other activity. There are going to be factors such as travel and the expense. You're going to be spending and committing company resources to a day to several days worth of effort. Is it the right place to be? And I think that analysis is critical.
Yeah.
Agency events are often a good place to start if you're focused on a specific agency or organization like Air Force. Air Force IT show's been going on a long time. Everybody troops out. What is that? Somewhere in the middle of the country, and spends a couple of days with the Air Force personnel that the Air Force actually brings there, Montgomery, Alabama. Mm-hmm. You also can take a look at, I guess, last year NASA had its IT show out in California. They're not going to have it this year. They're instead going to be spending time on working on other aspects of the agency's mission. But I think there is a trend toward custom events or small events like the Fed Insider Forum that you were at yesterday on improper payments. Those events bring very targeted groups, let's say about 100 people, all of whom are focused on that one aspect of the marketplace. Those can be a more cost-effective way to approach.
Yeah, and for certain vendors, and, you know, again, that was exclusively a government-attended event except for the two companies that sponsored it, right?
Exactly.
So that's an extremely effective way to end run the competition, but you have to partner with somebody who can deliver the audience. That's key. And, you know, there are organizations around your company. If FED wanted to start events, they probably could. 1105 has, Federal Business Council. There's several out there that have done so successfully. Others, let's just say, much less successfully, especially those that visit the government market on occasion and then disappear until the next hot thing comes along. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our break. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. When we come back, we're going to talk about the value of being connected.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Gordon Moore, MD, Director of Clinical Transformation for Trail Solutions and President of Ideal Medical Practices, commented during the panel discussion titled Electronic Health Records 2.0, What Does the Future Hold? Brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
I just get a little bit creepy when I think about the Patriot Act and health information technology. You know, we're aggregating all this stuff. We know a heck of a lot about a heck of a lot of people. And yeah, I just hope that there are some very serious firewalls.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen. That's federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen. Electronic health records can offer benefits for patients, providers, and payers, but have not yet realized their full potential. Booz Allen Hamilton believes the next 5 to 10 years will see vast changes in the EHR environment. As mobile health applications proliferate, information is more readily shared, and EHRs take on a key role in delivering high-quality patient-centered health care. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Please join Tom Temin on March 20th at noon for a dynamic panel discussion on unified communications, connecting people to people anywhere, anytime, on any device. Sponsored by General Dynamics IT, featuring Mike Krieger, Deputy CIO, G6, U.S. Army, Horace Blackman, Director of IT Services at the Department of Veterans Affairs, Cindy Moran, Senior Director, DISA's Communications Division, and John Walsh, VP Unified Communications at General Dynamics IT. March 20th at 12 p.m.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
If you're a federal employee, how private is your personal email account? In the wake of a whistleblower controversy at the Food and Drug Administration, Congress wants to know. Congressman Daryl Issa and Senator Charles Grassley are asking the Office of Management and Budget to report on which agencies allow officials to read emails that employees send from their personal accounts. They also want to know how often agencies are reading your personal emails and what they do with the information.
When did you last review your life insurance coverage? WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943, provides life insurance to federal employees at rates significantly less than the federal program. WEPA also has a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. WEPA gives its policyholders more coverage, more benefits, and greater flexibility, yet costs much less. Visit WAEPA.org to learn about all of your options. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
It's time to hit the field for another exciting afternoon of Navy men's lacrosse. Cheer on the midshipmen as they face off against Holy Cross Saturday, March 17th at noon at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis. Meet the Miz, sponsored by Annapolis area Papa John's and Chick-fil-A, will follow the game. The first 300 kids will receive a free T-shirt, plus be sure to get autographs from all your favorite Navy lacrosse players. It's Navy Men's Lacrosse versus Holy Cross on March 17th at noon. Get your tickets now. Call 800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly one in three children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Join the 2012 Leukemia Ball as they toast to 25 years of making a difference on Saturday, March 31st at the Washington Convention Center. Support the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and life-saving blood cancer research while enjoying dinner, dancing, a comedic performance from Sinbad, music by Foreigner, the Mercedes-Benz Raffle, and a world-class silent auction featuring travel packages from American Airlines. Call 703-399-2900 to purchase a ticket or visit leukemiaball.org.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Peg and Claudia Hosky of Hosky Communications and Fed Insider. Find them at fedinsider.com. I want to talk a little bit about communicating with your network. So we've gone through building a relationship or building a reputation, the relationships, having the knowledge base so you have something to share with people. We've talked a bit about, you know, traditional media and the online stuff, but I use LinkedIn. I have probably 10 or 15 or participate in 10 or 15 conversations a day via certain groups on LinkedIn, sometimes more, sometimes less. But Claudia, you do more on Twitter. And again, I'm there, but I don't use it well. So how do you use Twitter to communicate with your network? Your growing network.
Thank you. Well, I think it's, again, a great, great data source. And it's one of the best ways to research and learn about the people you're interested in reaching. And it's, I think Peg mentioned, it's a great filter. So you can look at Twitter and say, okay, out of everything in the universe or Twitterverse that's going on right now, people are tweeting about, oh, I ate cookies for breakfast. People are tweeting about the Governor Christie at Starbucks, people or anything, what do the people that I'm interested in care about right now? And that will give you great insight. And then you can start sharing information about those things back with those people. Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess, the power of the retweet. When you have something interesting to say, then people will start retweeting you. And that's really one of the best ways to grow your network. It gives you credibility and people think, wow, this person seems to be on top of the news. Good to know.
Okay.
I think the filter part of it is that if Claudia tweets about something, people that are interested in that topic are going to retweet it. People in their network that are interested in that same topic are going to retweet it, and they're also going to start following Claudia. So suddenly she builds a reputation for her knowledge and expertise in that topic, and people interested in that topic begin to hover around and follow her tweets. Mm-hmm. So that's really where Twitter can become, in a way like LinkedIn, where you have an aggregation of common groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, in our community, I think, a breaking news opportunity.
Absolutely.
Talk about some of the media people.
If I hear something's going on, whether it's, you know, a bunch of sirens outside, or I get a text message from a friend saying, oh, they just closed my building in Alexandria, I go to Twitter before I turn on the news. Because there are people who are there, and you get the very first breaking news of whatever's going on, and it's unfiltered. It's this is what I see, this is what's happening. It's not, I mean, you know, it's not biased in any way or edited. It's, you know, they'll take a picture. It's just the best way to source news, absolutely.
So when's CNN going to have a Twitter feed across the bottom of the screen?
I don't know. They're probably too scared of typos still.
I think, all sorts of editing issues.
Yes, yes.
And I think Jason Miller last night, for an example, both his tweets come through my text phone as well as on Twitter. Uh-huh. And suddenly pops up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that Chris Smith, CIO for USDA, is leaving government. And that's big news in our community, those of us who follow what's happening. And immediately, where's he going? What's next? And you're quickly then on to Federal News Radio reading Jason's article. But before it gets up on the website, it's definitely coming out via Jason on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, we should probably just mention, since we're talking about it so much, that Peg is at Peg Hosky. Oh, okay. On Twitter, and I'm at Fed Insider, so you should definitely follow us.
And I'm at Amtower, but I don't know why you'd want to follow me on Twitter. Join me on LinkedIn, you know, easy to find on LinkedIn. I do more there anyway. But let's wrap up here with just a few thoughts on the value of really being connected. So, number one, it is a relationship-driven market. You need a reputation in order to build those relationships and add value to the community. But overall, the value of being connected is what, Peg?
Well, I think the first one that leaps to mind is that your career and your business are really going to be forwarded by being connected. I think never having been in the recruitment business and never wanting to, I probably can begin to list any number of people that actually have changed jobs and gotten jobs because of people I knew that were looking for people to hire, and I connected the two of them together. So that alone is a reason to be connected, stay close to people that are connected, because at some point in your career, you're going to need a hand to help you make the next step, and that's where your connections really come in.
And I would say probably the best value for me is just the fact that people want to identify with people. They don't, you know, no one's going to identify personally with Fed Insider, but they will with Claudia Hosky or Peg Hosky or Tom Temin or Mark Amtower. And if you're not out there and they don't have that opportunity to know you personally, you're not going to get any business. It's not going to happen. There's no connection.
Yeah, there you go. Federal News Radio, Fed Insider, and you know, find some groups on LinkedIn to join and share your knowledge there. Put your questions there, ask, and Twitter as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. I'd like to thank my guests, Peg and Claudia Hosky of Hosky Communications and Fed Insider, for joining me. Find them at fedinsider.com. Sign up for that newsletter. It's very cool. On March 22, I'll be doing the lunch speech for Strategic Consulting's annual government contracting event down in Charleston. April 16th, I'm moderating a panel for the Federal Senior Managers Conference out in Cambridge. Our first Government Marketing Master Seminars with Capital College started late April. I'll be posting that information as it happens in the Government Market Master Group on LinkedIn. And I'd like to thank everybody out there for listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Amtower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.